Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5.
On the radio.
And online.
Wow.
And we talk about video games on this show, in case you have not heard us before.
What?
And we collect video games.
No.
We play video games?
Yeah, probably.
Sometimes.
Probably that.
And we have an excessive amount of video game. Debatable?
Yeah, I mean, we could have more.
Oh, you're not wrong. Oh, we're never going to stop collecting more video games and just letting them sit on our shelf.
Forever.
But this year marks a very important year in video games.
Okay.
It is the 35th anniversary of the Super Mario Brothers, Alice.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's fine. Like, we didn't get Mario Odyssey 2 or anything out of this.
Not yet. I hope they're not waiting till the next generation.
Till 40th Super Mario, the 40th anniversary.
Where they'll release Mario All-Stars 2.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah, for the Super Nintendo, the Super Nintendo All-Stars, they'll have that on the Switch.
The Super Switch.
Yeah, the Super Switch. Oh, no.
Well, yes. Anyway, so I went and picked up Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury.
Yeah, which is, well, 3D Mario World is like some kind of sequel spinoff from the 3DS version. That's why it's called 3D Mario World, because it was utilized 3DS's 3D feature, which personally I hated. It hurt my eyeballs. It was cool, but also terrible. That's kind of how I feel.
That's also why I got the 2DS when that was available, because I still wanted to play the games, but I just...
Well, the 3D aspect of a lot of the games was not essential. Anyway, so that Mario came out of that, and they made one for the Wii U, and that's the one that I've played. I've played through, like, the whole thing, to the point, like, you can get Rosalina in this. So I've got Rosalina, yeah.
You got one of the Rosalinas. Now, the cool thing about this is it has an add-on called Bowser's Fury.
Well, add-on. It's another game entirely.
Yeah, it's a small game. Like, you can beat it within a couple of days.
Hours.
Okay. It took me more than a couple hours.
Well, I'm going to say I've heard that this game is about... three to 4 hours. And that's probably, like, to get to the credits. And that's about, yeah, how long.
And then after you beat the game, you have a chance to go and do more of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a really fun little add-on. I really, really enjoyed myself with this. You are Mario going to have a vacation on Lapcat Lake, or Lake Lapcat. And you end up bumping into Bowser Jr., who...
Well, no, he teleports you into his world. That's how it starts.
He
teleports you. You're not... Mario is just wandering through the Mushroom Kingdom, and he gets teleported.
Right. You're right.
Yeah. And similarly, like, I don't think this is an add-on. Like, this could be a standalone game, but I think the fact that they put it... They wanted to justify the 70, you know, the price point... Otherwise, this would have been, like, a $50 game, like, one of the 50, 60. But because it's a combo, you know, they can mark it up. Because I don't think that this is, like, an add-on, like you're saying, because it's a completely different game from Mario 3D World, basically.
It's sort of like when they had Super Mario Brothers, or Mario Brothers Pact with Duck Hunt. They could have been two unique games, but they decided to jam them together on the original Nintendo.
It's in, I would say, the connecting thing is obviously Cat Mario, right? Like, this is Bowser's Fury, except, once again, Cat Bowser never shows up in Bowser's Fury, which is, like, a very big shame, because I love Cat Bowser. And the fact that everything else is cats, and it's literally Cat Mario, it's open world Cat Mario. That's plus Baby Bowser.
Plus Baby Bowser.
Or Bowser Jr. I don't know. Why don't they call him Baby Bowser anymore? Oh, he grown up slightly?
Okay, so Baby Bowser was from Yoshi's Island, and that was actual Bowser as a baby.
Oh!
That wasn't Bowser Jr. That was actual Baby Bowser.
I see.
Just like Baby Mario and Baby Luigi.
Oh, that's Okay.
So they have to differentiate between the two characters, even though they are incredibly similar.
Oh, well, they should have just made it little Bowser. Anyway.
Bowser Jr.
Yeah, Bowser, whatever. Whatever. Anyways, Baby Bowser is your friend in this. And you can it can be a two-player. I think it's probably a little difficult. Baby Bowser's controls are a little... They're tied to Mario, right? Because he has a distance thing where if he's too far away,
yeah,
he's like useless and he'll sort of teleport right back to Mario, which is fine. But he does stuff like he'll attack. There's like magic spots that only he can like
activate.
Know. Yeah, activate is a good word. Like that will get you little like level ups. And he uses it like his paintbrush. I'm pretty sure this is like slight connections to Mario Sunshine.
It's the right? exact same magical paintbrush.
Yes. And... Yeah, that... Yeah. So, it's quite cute. Like, you played the whole thing. I started playing it. The main thing in this game is that it's a big world, and then Bowser is consistently there. Right?
Always he's, hovering yeah. in the background.
Yeah. And either he is... Yeah, he's subdued, or he's sort of, like, in his turtle shell and just sort of slowly spinning. And he's, like, a giant... He's covered in sort of like an almost like an oil slick kind of.
They do call it goop.
Yeah, like you know, it's a Mario. Yeah. It's a Mario
it's
term.
A Mario.
And then he will attack you, right? At certain points, you know, you can sort of tell because the weather starts to turn.
Once it starts to rain, you know that you've got to either find some cover or really hurry to get one of the cat shines.
Which automatically stop him, sort of. Well, stop him once he's out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then he'll basically, he's gigantic. Like, he is way bigger than regular Bowser size, like, maybe, like, four times, I don't know, five.
He's very, very big.
And intimidating, and they put on this fantastic, like, heavy metal, like, a little bit of, like, gothic choir in the background. As,
it's a
like,
very cool song.
Fire is coming down from the sky, right? And,
yeah.
like, the good enemies, or not good enemies, but the good mobs, like there's a bunch of cats around, right? They turn the evil, I guess. They'll attack you when Bowser's doing his thing, getting mad.
When he's going through his Bowser's fury.
Yeah, his fury. But it's a beautiful, like, one thing I think about this game is that it is, like, it's a teaser for us for, like, what they are planning. You know, like, I think... They're maybe thinking of something bigger than this, which, they could do a lot of things with some kind of open world kind of Mario like this.
Yeah, like this sort of is a more elaborate Mario Odyssey level.
Yeah.
Expanded. Like, this would be so cool to have a full expanded
yeah.
world like this.
Yeah, basically. And basically you just sort of jump into the levels like they're a part of the environment.
Yeah.
Which is really very cool. Like, they've done... a lot of neat little things. And, of course, there's Cat Mario, and everything is, like, cat. Like, one thing I thought was hilarious is, like, the seagulls have cat ears, right? And I'm just
yes.
like, that's very cute. The seagulls, like, bushes, trees.
The enemies are all...
Little cat. The lighthouse is, like, shaped like a cat. It's pretty good. Like, I was like, there's one thing that isn't shaped like a cat.
It's Bowser.
Oh, well, yeah. So disappointing. I think it'd have made a cool cat Fury Bowser. Maybe it was just too much, and they already liked their cool Dark Bowser. He is really cool. He's visually great.
We love him.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth checking out, and even good just to go back and play Super Mario 3D World, which I've never played, so I'm having fun with that.
Yeah, and that one's basically kind of your four-player Mario kind of situation where you go through worlds, but it's a 3D space versus the 2D ones, right?
I'm not going to play it with another person unless I want to be angry for a while.
I played it with other people, and, like, it can be good, but it can be awful. Obviously, there are things in this game where they specifically make it so that if you're with other people, it's very hard. Like, they're switching panels, basically, so every time someone jumps, they switch.
Yeah.
So if everybody consistently jumps, it's just, like, a big mess. but, like, visually it's fun. I also like the fact that each character, they kept their everybody's different a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Luigi is his floaty jump. Peach can literally float.
Just like in Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah, and I think Toad has, like, he goes faster or he, like, has a longer jump. It's something, I don't know. And Mario's just, I don't know what Mario has.
Mario jumps. Mario can go fast and jump. Mario is a regular guy. Yes.
And then, yeah, you can get Rosalina later on. She also kind of, she just also kind of hovers, but it's, I was like, it's not that useful, to be honest.
Princess Peach Plus.
Yeah, I would say Luigi is probably my favorite to use because of his little floaty jump. Yeah.
So I'll be playing more of that eventually. You've also finished up a game recently.
Yeah, so, because I've played Alan Wake before, and I have the DLC slash, I guess it's sort of almost like a sequel. Like, I feel they tried to make it so it could stand alone. But I'm going to say this is spoilers for Alan Wake, just because this is, like, a little bit of a direct sequel, in a way. It's spoilers for the end. Basically, at the end, Alan Wake gets transported. He gets taken by the dark, whatever it is. He gets taken by the dark, and he then is transported to, like, this sort of... He's transported to Night Springs, which is this universe's Twilight Zone.
Yeah, okay.
And he's also... Which he also writes for occasionally. Alan Wake, so... for those of you who don't know, Alan Wake is basically a writer. I think he's basically just Stephen King.
If Stephen King were a video game character, yeah, and, like, a little less...
I don't know. I have no idea, opinions really on Stephen King, but I'm pretty sure that's what he's based off of. Like, he's an author who sort of gets stuck in his own stories about sort of like a, I'll say, Lovecraftian, like, you know, dark entity and versus light entity kind of situation. Like, very Stephen King. It's
very, very Stephen King.
So, and then he gets involved in his own story, right?
Very Stephen King.
Yeah, he's a writer. And his wife is missing, and it takes place in Maine, right? Like, so these are all, yeah.
So far as I know, Tabitha King is still okay, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, but in story, anyway. And that's what the first one's about, and this one is sort of a continuation. The reason why I decided to come back to Alan Wake after, like, because I haven't played it since, like, maybe around when it came out, which is, like, this one came out in 2009, I believe, no, 2012, sorry. I think at regular Alan Wake. But this game directly connects, like, both of them. Alan Wake directly connects to Control, which is a game I really enjoyed.
Right.
And, like, the lore of, thought it was neat. Alan Wake, I didn't like the lore of as much, and maybe that's just because, once again, I don't really know of or appreciate Stephen King to the extent that other people do. I can appreciate certain things and tropes that have, like, come from him or whatever.
Some of the influence that he's had.
Yeah, but on the whole, it's just sort of not a thing that I'm, like, that interested in, whereas, like, Control is about SCPs, which I think are very fascinating.
Yes.
But this game basically is Alan Wake. He's in Night Springs, and he's sort of been abducted by basically his dark alter ego, whose name is Mr. Scratch. Looks exactly like Alan Wake, except he wears a suit and is kind of more of a jerk than Alan Wake. And obviously, there's sort of the similar mechanics of the regular Alan Wake, where you have your flashlight, and your flashlight, basically, it takes off a shield of bad guys, and then you can shoot them. The bad guys are primarily human-shaped shadow guys. Like, it's sort of, you're under the impression that the people of this town have been sort of possessed by this darkness. Yeah.
Very Stephen King.
Very Stephen King. And so that's the way you attack things. There's a bunch of weapons. Technically, this isn't, like, a real place. This is, once again, sort of like he is in a TV episode, in a way.
Okay.
And sort of how it's set up is you only sort of have to do certain things, or you only have a certain area and a limited time. Well, not limited time, but there's only a limited amount of things to do in one area, and then you get to move on.
Okay.
But how they set up this story is that you have to basically play through these areas three different times, about, because each time you sort of learn different things that you've done each time, so mm-hmm. It's like a looping kind of situation. Because the first time you encounter this girl who helps you, you know, start power, start, get somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. But she ends up like getting attacked by the darkness and bad stuff, right? So learning this, you try to save her the next time and, you know, continually try to do different things through each one. The other one is there's an observatory, and they're not really like, they're just sort of places. And once again, Mr. Scratch, they're sort of like cameos by him, where if you find televisions, you'll find one thing about this, and I don't quite remember this in the first Alan Wake, but this game has live action cutscenes primarily. Well, in a way, right? Like, so Alan Wake and Mr. Scratch, obviously the same person, so you can have the same actor for that.
Right.
There's also Alan Wake's wife at one point. But for this, primarily, they have the actor who is playing Mr. Scratch, like, talk to the video game character Alan Wake, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have these live-action moments of him sort of, like, talking about how he's a bad guy, right? And they're fairly interesting, and this does go on, like, in Control. They did a lot of live-action video.
Right, with the puppet shows.
Well, and there was they're all doctors, scientists. The scientists, right, yes. That he did consistent, like, videos, or he did monologues to the camera. So, which I thought was a great idea. And this, it fits well, especially within the TV universe. I would say also the graphics look fairly good, so it's an amount of, like, you can get away with using that real video.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, it's not the worst. It has some fun music, which we will listen to later. It does also reintroduce, like, the old gods of Asgard. I kind of feel in a way that this was maybe people wanted more Alan Wake, or people didn't like the ending, or didn't like how it resolved itself, which I thought it was fine. It's, like, it's sort of a mystery, and maybe they thought that they were going to make another one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now that Control is out and Control did really well, might be even some more, like, it might be Alan Wake 2 that is also somehow, like, a sequel to Control, or, you know, interjects the same universe.
Well, they have the Alan Wake experience with Control.
Yeah, expansion.
Expansion.
Yeah, which is something, which is funny, because once again, there's, like, things called AWEs in the game. But yeah, I would assume that if they're doing anything, they're probably doing another Control, which personally I'd like better. I'm fine with how Alan Wake ended, and once again, he is injected in the Control universe now. And I'm sure they will do more with him, because people really liked Alan Wake. Like,
even if they weren't too keen on the end of the game, they love the character.
Well, just, I think there are a lot of decent things about it. Like, it's a fairly interesting story. Like, to be honest, as someone who doesn't like Stephen King, I found this story more interesting. It kind of is a little, like, I feel the bad guy, well, not the bad guys, but the enemy types are a little boring, because it's just sort of like shadow guys.
Yeah.
At one point, there is, like, more where it's, like, the darkness possesses objects, and that's a little more interesting, because there will be things just thrust at you, and it's kind of terrifying. But otherwise, like, it was a pretty fun little experience. Like, I think it took me about 3-ish hours to beat. Like, it's you know, it's a DLC sequel kind of situation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I quite liked it. I would recommend it, especially if you liked Alan Wake and haven't played this one, because I liked Alan Wake.
Is this a scary game at all?
It's a little scary. Like, I'll say I get scared because I get jumped by the bad guys, and that's just me. It doesn't matter. But it's not that scary. It's just more action-oriented. But, yeah. Yeah, I would say the other thing that happened, we did get a Nintendo Direct.
We're
done Alan Wake now. he'll be back someday.
We always get Nintendo Directs, like, the day after, or the day of an episode airs.
Yeah.
So we can never report on it soon enough.
The only thing that I cared about, because once again, and it's to each his own, like, I'm not going to disparage Nintendo for not having anything I like, because I don't, like, at the end, it's like somebody likes something that they put out. And also, you know, we are in the midst of stuff, so there can't be everything that we want. One thing that we are getting is a Skyward Sword remaster for the Switch, which is fantastic. That's my favorite Zelda.
Finally, personally. I can play it without breaking my wrists.
Yeah, I'm excited that because, once again, lots of people didn't get to play it for the fact that it wasn't very accessible. Like, if you were left-handed, you were out of luck. You just wouldn't be able to play this game. There's other things that look semi-interesting, but I won't probably touch, which is Triangle Strategy, which I think is an unfortunate name.
Project Triangle Strategy.
Yeah, and that's by the people who did Octopath Traveler, which I did, like, until I got, not bored of, just, like, RPGs take time, and I don't want, I have other things to do. Then I gotta go play Fallout 4 for another 40 hours now. There wasn't a lot that excited new Smash characters, but they're from Xenoblade. One of these, yep, sure, Xenoblade 2, we'll say. Xenoblade Saga, Xenogears Blade Saga 2.
Not one of the RPGs that we are familiar with.
No, I've heard the first game is pretty good, but regardless, not, yeah, they, you know, it's fine. I don't care. That's about it. There wasn't that much more interesting, like, can you remind me?
There was Splatoon 3, which everybody was looking forward to.
Okay, that legitimately looks neat. I'm excited for the way the customization. You also get a little salmon guy. It'll be fun. People like Splatoon. I personally think it's a great shooter and a great, like, multiplayer game, especially for young people. Like,
yeah. It's a very fun game, and I should probably pick up the second game again soon. I have so many games I got to go back to.
Yeah.
This might be the chance for me to play The Legend of Mana remaster.
It's already out.
It is, but...
Yeah, see, that's the only thing is whenever these Nintendo Directs are like, here's a thing that's finally coming to the Switch, it's brand new. I'm like, that's already out for blank and blank and blank. I'm like, I appreciate that it's out for the Switch now, but... Oh, physical copy of Hades, though.
Yeah, I'll take exciting. A physical copy of Hades
anyway,
when it comes out.
That's exciting. But yeah,
I might check out World's End Club because that looked pretty interesting.
I actually agree. That one, it looks surprisingly like a weird Pokemon game. Like, they look like they're designed by the Pokemon character designer.
And it's production company that does Danganronpa.
And the Zero Escape games. Both of which I played the Zero Escape games. I've read through the first Danganronpa. That's because at the time, it was not here translated. But some kind soul in a forum translated, so I got to read Danganronpa.
It's gotten quite a cult following at this point.
Well, now it's all translated. It's very nice.
It is. Yeah. And I might check out Bravely Default, too.
Yeah.
But that is the Nintendo Direct that came out, and we're going to keep our eyes open because we still want some of that Breath of the Wild to...
Yeah, sure. I'll wait. Yeah. It's fine. I've waited for games longer.
Oh, we
it's
have. Fine. I think the record's like 12 years.
Yeah.
All right, that's everything we have for you for this week, and keep changing.
Bye.